broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. This is the broadcast for August 8th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the family. Yeah, the fundamental, God-ordained, traditional family. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, I've got Evan Bundy with me. I've got the good Sheriff Richard Mack with me. We had a great hour last hour talking about the wonderful, wonderful Cliven Bundy and Sons win appeal. All right, that's great news. We also talked about socialism will bankrupt America, no doubt about it. We talked about we're in serious trouble when the immoral counterculture becomes the culture. We talked about the Jerry Falwell scenario. We talked about Judge Deneen Pearl saying, hey, don't worry about the NRA and their corruption. It's all good. We talked about, can we create a constitutional covenant community? All great stuff last hour. Give me a little bit of time after the show. Both hours will be up so you can spread the word and share the information with your loved ones. Now,
wait, come out, Sam.
Sure.
Two things. One thing that I still need to cover with Ammon. So, Ammon, what happens to the poor souls who got intimidated by the government and took plea bargains and are still sitting in prison? Does this do anything for them?
Great question.
Well, like Todd Engle, he had also an appeal because the evidence that was withheld from him in his trial was the same evidence that was withheld in our trial. It just wasn't exposed in his trial. So, and he didn't take a plea. He was convicted only of two of the charges, and basically the jury didn't even get to hear even close to the truth because it was withheld. It looks like he's going to get a new trial. Now, those who took pleas because of this, there's only two ways to be convicted in the court. And that is by a jury, well, I guess technically a jury or a judge if you have a bench trial, if you choose.
Correct.
But a jury can convict you, or you can convict yourself by admitting to something and pleading to something. Now, unfortunately, these people were scared, they were intimidated, they were coerced, and they were thrown in concrete boxes for months on end and then offered, a little carrot. If you'll admit to something you didn't do, and they did admit to something they didn't do,
right.
But that convicted them. And like Ayn Rand says in Atlas Shrugged, an innocent man is not guilty until he admits to guilt that it's not his own. It still doesn't make it right, but it is a great example that you never should admit to something you didn't do,
right,
even under dire circumstances. So we keep fighting for them. Hoping that, but there's no legal remedy to try to get them relief because they convicted themselves.
The only legal remedy would be for the President of the United States to do what they did for Roger Stone and say, wait a minute here now, this is a sham court from the get-go, or a fully informed jury to be able to, know the truth of all things and then decide to give them an opportunity when the government withholds this evidence and information and then people are forced out of fear to capitulate. There's got to be a better way. And those are the remedies that could be if we had honor enough to do so.
So we have Jerry DeLamas, absolute innocent man, other than he admitted to something that he didn't do, even though, they even coerced and threatened him that they would prosecute his son. And that was ultimately what he says, why he took the plea. We've got Greg Burleson, who was actually convicted on some of the charges. He's absolutely an innocent man. While he was in prison, he's gone blind. So now he basically sits there and doesn't really have a whole great advocacy, you know, behind him. And then we got Todd Engel, who seems to be on a good path because his conviction was overturned based upon his appeal to the Ninth Circuit, and them. So he'll either he'll either go back to trial, or they will dismiss his case as well. We will see.
And my response is, our prayers are with both of them.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
And then one other piece of news, Sam. The only other thing I had as kind of a co-host today, Jerry Sheridan, a good friend of mine and a member of the CSPOA, barely defeated Joe Arpaio in the Republican primary for sheriff.
Wow.
Jerry Sheridan will now be going against, I talked to him last night quite extensively, he'll be going against Socialist Democrat Paul Penzone, who defeated Arpaio 4 years ago. I really believe Jerry Sheridan has a chance. I believe that we've had so many meetings with him, and he's starting to understand the constitutional sheriff thing. I believe that he'll be an excellent sheriff for the people of Maricopa County. So,
Jerry Sheridan beats Joe Arpaio in nomination. That's interesting. Jerry beats Joe. Ammon, you want to respond to that one?
Well, all I could say is that, you know, and this is what Sheriff Mack has done such a great job in his, you know, organization. You know, there is only one man that is elected, one man or woman that is elected and given policing and arresting power from the people, and that is the county sheriff. He has more power to do more good than even the president of the United States. And so, you know, choose wisely.
Amen.
Well said.
And we like a lot of what Joe Arpaio does, and we're grateful for some of the things that he's done in the past, but the fact is he's not the most constitutional guy, and we need to vote for the most constitutional guy every time, Sheriff Mack.
Yeah, and that's that's really what happened here. Joe has a lot of baggage. He's been supportive of some of the stuff we've done, and we've had him speak a couple of times, but oh, my gosh. Any time that he did something constitutional, I had to talk him into it for hours, you know, days, and try to convince him to finally do it. One thing that we will always be grateful to Joe Arpaio about, and that is the positive attention that he brought to the, as Ammon alluded to, the positive attention he brought to the position of sheriff. He made it nationwide. He made it worldwide. That the sheriff is the most powerful executive in the county, and he actually stood against the federal government right at the beginning of his term back in the early 90s, and he told them to get lost, that he had this investigation when a train derailed, that the federal government came into his county and said, we got this investigation, get out of the way. The sheriff said, this is Maricopa County, and I'll call you if I need you. Sheriff Arpaio and I just talked about that a few months ago when I was talking to him about his campaign, and I was trying every power that I could use to get him to not run.
Well, and let's make this very, very, very clear. We're not going against Joe Arpaio here.
No.
What we're doing is whenever a principle is correct, whenever an individual is correct based on principle, based on the moral high ground, we back and support them. When they're not, and or when there's a better option, we've simply got to call that out and go for the better option, or stand against the not, if you will. And that principle or that focus point that I think all three of us have tried to do to the best of our ability really is the key here. It's not about Joe. It is about the Constitution. It is about the oath of office. It is about the principles that can either make or break freedom, based on what we embrace and endorse and support and or reject. And that's a nice dovetail to the point today. So there's a bunch of headlines about this. And Ammon, I'm gonna kind of summarize it, and then I want to give you a chance to correct the record if I misspeak in any way. There's a headline that I got from the St. George newspaper. Aspen Stoddard writes the piece, and the headline says this: Ammon Bundy stands in support of Black Lives Matter effort to defund the police. Now, there's a lot of headlines saying Ammon Bundy is joining Black Lives Matter, Ammon Bundy this, Ammon Bundy that. I'm setting it all aside for a second and saying, hey, let's hear from Ammon directly on the point. I don't think that he's joining Black Lives Matter, although I think he agreed with their point. Then there became a ton of backlash when Ammon Bundy said, backlash when Ammon said, hey, I'm going to go to their rally. I support this point they're on. They're right on this point. They're right on principle here. And well, anyway, there was so much backlash that Ammon Bundy created a video and said, guys, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Why are you all attacking me? And I think it was a very poignant question that Ammon had. Agree or disagree with Ammon, why attack him? Okay, we don't need death threats. We don't need attacks. We can agree to disagree agreeably, I would think. But come on, attack Ammon Bundy? When he has every right to think and believe and say what he wants? So do you, I would hope, ladies and gentlemen. So I got wind of that video, watched it, and I emailed Ammon and said, man, I don't know what the heck's going on, and I may not agree with you on this thing. But I defend your right to think and believe and say what you feel and want to. And I always have. And even when Ammon Bundy did the refuge thing, and I felt like it wasn't the best idea, we never attacked Ammon over that. I think Ammon's an honest, moral, faith-filled gentleman. And we can not feel identical about maybe the best way to go about something, but it doesn't mean we need to fight and melt down. We'll come back and have Ammon respond and then dig into this thing. Hang tight, folks.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, so anyway, that's kind of the summary of the discussion point now, which is, hey, you know what? Let Ammon set the record straight. I don't think he's joining Black Lives Matter. I just think he agrees with them on this critical principle. And look, we're not here to go against or go for people. It's not about a popularity contest, folks. It's about who's right based on principle. And do we have the humility and the guts to embrace that? To be humble enough to say, well, it's not a matter of the good old boy network or who's on what team or any of that kind of garbage. Okay, this isn't a sporting event. This is the sacred cause of liberty, for crying out loud. And we need to have respect for one another's views on this, even if we disagree. Have I summarized it fair enough, Ammon?
Yeah, I think you've been fair on that. The way that this kind of began was, we have, again, I mentioned organized people's rights, and there's about 31, 32,000 people that kind of have joined together in neighborhoods under people's rights as this network. Well, Black Lives Matter here in Boise have been protesting, and then also we had some protests up in Coeur d'Alene, and we knew that Antifa had come in, so we had actually activated the people in the network, and they stood at the businesses and the streets of Coeur d'Alene and downtown Boise, and just made sure that that things stayed peaceful, that they didn't destroy private property. And that was, you know, our network that actually started that and made that happen. So we were in solidarity and making sure.
And by the way, let's be very clear, that's doing the right thing based on principle, right?
Yeah, the right thing based upon principle. It was the local people, the concern for their businesses that called on us, and are actually part of the people's rights. And so people joined together and made sure that those individuals that wanted protest had the right to protest, and also that there wasn't damage, destroyed, and looting and all of that.
Now, I do want to set the record straight a little bit on the protest discussion, and I don't mean to disagree with you on this, Evan, but I want to clear something up that's important. I don't know that we have the right to protest. We have the right to peacefully assemble. And I don't mean to play games with words, but there is a difference. We need to stick with the founder's understanding of peaceful assembly may not be the same as protest, which blurs into violence and riots and who knows what. And we need to stick with the core is the point.
Well, I'm saying that the Constitution doesn't list all our rights. And you know that.
Stan. Agreed, sure.
You know, so just because it says we have a right to peacefully assemble doesn't mean we don't have a right to protest.
I agree. I guess I'm just saying it depends on what banner you put it under is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, and it has been a play on words, that's for sure.
And I only say that because then they make it sound like all the other things that are against the law and that we shouldn't have the right to do almost seem like it's the same as what we have the right to do. And that blurring then with a lack of education makes people not even understand what our real God-given inalienable rights are. And that's the whole reason that I mention it.
Yeah, but what we do agree on for sure, which I think we agree on all of that, but is that we don't have a right to loot and we don't have a right to destroy people's property.
Amen. And that's my point.
Yeah. And so that's why we were downtown, and that's why the People's Right Network activated itself and the people basically defended their downtown. Well, anyhow, what happened is that kind of escalated to where people liked that idea, these so-called patriots, and they started coming in. You know, there were some biker groups, and there were some more kind of more extreme groups that came in. Well, then they started actually abusing the Black Lives Matter people, like to actually, you know, spitting on them, in some cases physical abuse, and which was absolutely incorrect.
Yeah, so there again, based on principle, we reject that.
Yeah, right. And so then what happened is the Black Lives Matter, the Boise Black Lives Matter, reached out to People's Rights, and it really wasn't me directly. They just on Facebook and said, "Hey, when are you going to protect our rights? You know, here we are being abused," and they were. That was factually happening, and so you know, people in People's Rights, you know, including. I wasn't as privy to it at the beginning, but they're like, hey, maybe we should respond to these people. Like, we should, like, say that we're going to stand and protect one group of people and not the other.
Yeah, and see, if we're based on principle, though, this is a valid point, people. Let's be clear. We don't support the abuse of anyone. Ammon?
That's right. So I did. I reached out to them. I responded to their request and said, hey, you know, give me some details, you know, how can we help? And so they gave us details of what was happening and some of the specific abuses that were happening. And then we began to communicate a little bit more. And so, and then they directly invited me to come to the Defund the Police rally. It was on July 21st, the Defund the Police rally that they were having. And they invited me directly to come. And I looked into it and felt like it was principled enough that I would go there and, you know, bring attention to what they did to Lavoie in Oregon. And I would support them in that.
Now, let's be clear, whether you agree or disagree with Ammon on this, he has every right to do this as a free man, for crying out loud. And if you disagree with it, you might say, Ammon, I don't agree with you. But the vitriol, the abuse, the hatred, the hostility that Ammon highlighted happened to him, in my opinion, is insanity and needs to stop. Ammon?
Yes. Well, it's interesting because when I stand for principles, you know, when it comes to liberty, usually the left will absolutely, if you want to say the left or the liberals, whatever, if you want to say, they'll just, you know, immense a whole bunch of hate, and I'll get like, you know, death threats from them. I'll get all kinds of things. And then I go and actually on principle say, hey, look, I'm going to support something that I believe is right, that might not be popular with the so-called conservatives. And the exact same thing happened. I mean,
when you say the exact same things, now the so-called right or the other side, whatever word you want to use for this sad divide, they're doing the same thing. That's your point, right?
Death threats, you know, death threats, lies, you know, I mean, the exact same thing, which because we have to separate, you know, principles from the unprincipled. And we have a problem in both, if you will, both sides. And that problem is understanding truth, understanding what is moral, what is right, and also understanding that someone has a right to disagree with you. So anyhow, that's kind of where it went. Planned on, but I felt like, well, rather than just showing up, I felt like I should probably inform, you know, people in the People's Rights Network and, you know, just let people know that I was going to be there. And that was really not for anything other than just to preempt why they might think I was at the rally. Just to let people know why I was there. And then it just went crazy. I mean, just people just lost their minds that I was going to actually go and support a defund the police rally with Black Lives Matter.
Let me make one thing clear, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone is an agent unto themselves. This is a fundamental reality of freedom. And with that, everyone's an agent unto themselves idea, principle, doctrine, belief, whatever you want to call it. Ammon Bundy can freely associate with whomever he chooses. Okay? So can I. So can the good sheriff. So can you. And you know what? Whether you like or dislike the choices that one makes, you have no right, no authority. In fact, it's lording over people to suggest you do have a right or a say or a... And you have no right or moral high ground to attack and abuse and create a hostile, hate-filled, death threat style, whatever you want to call it, environment for anyone. Whether it's the Black Life guy you disagree with, whether it's Ammon Bundy saying they're right on this principle, et cetera, you have no right. And Ammon made this point in the video, and I completely, 1,000% agree with that point. And I highlight it so detailed based on principle this way on purpose. Because you know what? I don't think that Ammon Bundy planned to join Black Lives Matter as if he's going to be a card-carrying member or one of the leaders. He just simply said they're right on defunding the police, and I want to support that. And when they're being abused, I'm going to come to their defense. Is he wrong on this? I don't think that he is. When we come back, we'll have the sheriff comment, and then I want to talk a little bit about some of the details, because we may not agree. We may agree more than we think, but we can disagree agreeably even so. And I defend Ammon completely. But I will say this. We need to take a step back and we need to make sure we're based on sound principles, people.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Trump in Bedminster, New Jersey.
If Democrats continue to hold this critical relief hostage, I will act under my authority as president to get Americans the relief they need.
He's cautioning that he's ready to use executive orders to extend a payroll tax holiday, enhance unemployment benefits through the end of the year, defer student loan payments, and reinstate a federal moratorium on evictions. That's if an agreement with congressional Democrats does not happen, and that appears to be the case. Last-ditch efforts to negotiate a bipartisan deal have collapsed. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he wants compromise.
There are only two choices for them. Negotiate with Democrats and meet us in the middle. Don't say it's your way or no way. And if we do that, we can accomplish a whole lot of things.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
As President Trump threatens executive order action on coronavirus relief, one of his congressional allies praises the idea. USA's Tim Burke says at least one of those orders is ready to go.
White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says an order cutting payroll taxes was drafted and ready for the president to sign. The order will reportedly also deal with eviction notices and enhanced unemployment benefits. Regarding the president taking the executive order route, Republican Congressman from Ohio, Jim Jordan, says,
"Well, what I hear, I think it's a great idea. I mean, the president, if you know, Nancy Pelosi and all the crazy things that she and the left, the hard left, want in this bill, the president just wants to help families, wants to help the economy. You know, the PPP program was good for those businesses who were so hard hit by the virus. The president wants to do the right thing."
The Dow closed up Friday, 46.5. The Nasdaq down 97. The S&P 500 up a couple of points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman, Ammon Bundy, the good Sheriff Richard Mack. Hey, Sheriff, you ready to crucify us both?
Not even. I had a similar experience. Mine was about as crazy as Ammon's, maybe not as crazy, but I was asked to speak in Albany, New York for a support law enforcement rally, and Ted Nugent, coincidentally, was asked to speak at a similar rally in New York City. Well, the authorities found out that Ted Nugent, being the high-profile guy he is, was coming to New York. They notified him just a day before he was supposed to get on the plane, or maybe the day he was supposed to get on the plane. I've already talked to Ted about this, and they told him that if he came to New York City, that they would immediately take him into custody and put him into quarantine for 14 days. So when I found out that, I thought, well, maybe they're going to be doing the same thing at the Albany airport, and that I might be taken into custody for 14 days. And we had school where I teach in Levine starting that same week, back just a few days later. And I said, I probably can't afford that to happen. So I called the organizers, and I ran that past them. They said, yeah, we've already been thinking about it. So they decided to have me fly into Boston, and they picked me up there and drove me to Albany, spent the night there, and went to the rally. And the sheriff who picked me up, Sheriff Carpinelli of Lewis County, New York, said he never wears a mask, and he never wore a mask the entire day. And nor did several other people and other politicians and current legislators. Many of them did not either. And this is on the Capitol steps of New York. And I've spoken there before and did a press conference once before there about the SAFE Act, about gun control and helping sheriffs stand against gun control, which many did. And then I spoke, and it went really well, and the crowd was about 500 people and really good people, and at least I thought most of them were, and most of them were. But then I don't know if it was Antifa, but I do know that they were wearing Black Lives Matter shirts and banners. And about seven or eight of them walked out in front of the crowd, between the crowd and the podium where we speak. And I saw them walk out there, and they weren't doing anything except standing there showing their signs. They weren't yelling. They weren't interfering. They didn't interrupt any of the speakers. And then about 75, 85 people gathered around them, surrounded them. This is the Patriot people. The good Christian American people.
Hold on, the so-called.
Wait, say that again?
The so-called.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they started surrounding them. In fact, they did completely surround them, boxed them in, were up against their bodies, kind of body slamming, but not violently, but just pushing, and yelling, screaming loudly, USA, USA, USA. And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's what we do in the USA. So then I went up to the podium, and the lady was just trying to enter, the lady that was the MC was trying to get the next speaker up. And I said, please let me talk a minute. Please let me address this and get this to settle down. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't let me. So I could have pushed my way in front of her, I guess, and just kind of moved her out of the way, but I didn't. I didn't want to do that. It wasn't my meeting. And so I went down into the crowd and told them to leave these people alone. And before I got there, they started pushing and shoving, really out of control, pushing and shoving. It got pretty, I wouldn't say pretty violent, but it got pretty rough. And then the crowd kept pushing them over towards the grassy area right next to the street where these people came in. And I went into the middle of the crowd, and I literally started grabbing people's arms and while they're holding the American flag and telling them to get back to the rally. I said, and I was yelling at them, this is not what we are. This is not what we do. Get back to the rally. Leave these people alone. You're playing right into their hands. Ignore them. They have a right to be here. Leave them alone. And about two-thirds of the crowd listened and went back. And some others, no matter what you did, they weren't going to leave them alone.
All right, and this is an example where, in this case, the Black Lives Matter people had the right to peacefully assemble. And these other people that are protesting what the Black Lives Matter believe in or stand for or whatever they were doing, I don't believe they have the right to protest like that.
No, they don't. And it was 100% their fault. The Black Lives Matter did nothing to provoke it or instigate any kind of physical contact. It was 100% their fault. And
meaning the Patriots' fault.
Our fault. Yeah, the good American Patriot fault. And I was really ashamed of them. And afterwards, a reporter came up to me and said, hey, you were really getting concerned about what was happening. Yes, I did what I was. And he said, well, what about it? So, and I told him, I said, this was our fault. And we need to be a little bit more respectful of the things we believe in, and conduct ourselves like Americans and Christians. And I said, now, because of our reaction, the only thing people are remembering about this rally is what Black Lives Matter appeared in.
And the belligerant patriots and their response. My mother taught me something as a little child that I want to kind of bring up, and then I want to have Ammon be able to respond to this. My mother, oftentimes when I'd argue a point, she'd pull me aside and she'd say, Sam, you're probably right on this. I'm thinking, yeah, all right, good. You know, come on, Mama. And then she'd say this, though, and it cut me to the very soul at the time, but now I learned the wisdom of her point. She said, would you rather be right and lose the spirit? Or would you rather sometimes step back and know that you're right in your own heart, but let it go and keep the spirit of God? Ammon?
Yeah, I think that reminds me of a quote. I don't even know where it came from, that says, there's only room for argument if there's doubt. And I think as we, you know, anyway, I commend Sheriff Mack for what you did, because that's exactly what should have been done. And again, it really comes down to principles. And, you know, there's a lot of room to allow somebody to do certain things when you know you're right. You should be able to be confident in knowing you're right, allowing, like, even people to look like fools, act like fools, even step into your space, even get, obnoxiously, distracting. When you're right, there's no reason to get all upset when you're standing on correct principles. And so, anyway, I think we just have to learn that. But I do think that we have a problem among the patriots, if you will, of knowing what is correct principles. And that's the same problem we have with, if you will, the liberals. It's about what is right, what is wrong. And that's what actually motivated me for the kind of the second part of why I continue to communicate with the Boise Black Lives Matter leaders and the organization. Not that I'm part of it, not that I condone it, not that I want to be associated with, you know, as they say, you know, communists and Marxists, but there's a great opportunity here for me to at least express true principles to them and let them consider it. Because maybe, in fact, I know many have never heard or never contemplated the true principles of freedom and really the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to miss this opportunity just because a bunch of so-called patriots hate me or think that they own me and that I belong to them and I should only do what the mainstream patriots say I should do. I'm not going to miss this opportunity to share the truth.
Nor should you, sir.
And I will say, Sam, I had the exact same thing happen within just a couple of days. I had hate groups or hate mail and phone calls from the left saying what an idiot I was, and they were cussing at my wife when she answered the phone and tell her what an idiot husband she has, and we're getting those hate calls. And then 2 days later, I was getting the same hate calls from the patriots that were there. And you know, people were telling me, good, you're never coming back to Albany and blah, 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 because of what got reported in the newspaper that I spoke to afterwards, something Gazette. I didn't even care. I don't care who it was. But when I got home and a day later, my wife says, we're getting hate mail from the people who attended. And I go, what? They said, what did you say? And I said, I don't know, maybe I got misquoted. I don't know, that happens quite a few times in my career. And she told the guy, well, if this was so bad, tell me what my husband said. Tell me what happened. And he sent what I actually said, my wife going, man, you said exactly what you were supposed to say. There's nothing wrong with that. But that was the reaction.
Well, I had a buddy. I learned from a good friend of mine. He was a cowboy, and I dealt with him on a lot of real estate deals. And there was a lady that was super out of control, and I'm like, Dave, how the heck do you deal with this lady? She's crazy. And he smiles, and he goes, I've just learned to kill him with kindness.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So my cowboy buddy said, I've just learned to kill him with kindness. And I kind of find that an interesting idea. Now people are saying, Sam, wait a minute. You said you had a disagreement with Ammon and the good sheriff or whatever, and it seems like you guys agree on everything. Well, let's talk about it a little bit, because I in the final segment, and I hope we have enough time to get to all this, but here's my view. You know, there's different ways to go about things. Okay, I'm the guy that wants to just shut down all government schools 100%. The fact is, they're the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. The fact is, they're criminal enterprises that rape everyone's wallet by the government force, by the government gun. They steal your money, and then they indoctrinate. They don't educate, and it's criminal. And it's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. So I'm for getting rid of all the government schools, period. Just shut them down tomorrow. However, Kurt Crosby, my co-host that's with me during the week usually, he says, I agree with you, Sam, but you know what? We got to do it piecemeal. We got to do it a little bit at a time. If they want at least school choice, you know, it's better than nothing. It's a step in the right direction. Well, I agree with him partially. I still stick with my view, and he kind of sticks with his view, which is your view is so great, Sam, but it's not even on the table. At least some of these other discussions are on the table. Are we disagreeing? Are we at odds? Or are we merely expressing a preference of how we think we should resolve a problem? See, I don't know that we totally disagree at all. And I think the same thing's true with this discussion with Ammon Bundy. So I emailed him and I said, I slightly disagree. And here's where I kind of disagree. I get that most of these Black Lives Matter people don't really understand the principles of liberty. Many of them have never heard the solutions we would talk about. And I agree with Ammon Bundy that they deserve defense. Based on principle, we would defend anyone that's being abused or wrongfully dealt with. I don't care who it is or where it is or when or, okay, that's right. Based on principle, that's correct. But we've got to step back a little bit and say, okay, wait a minute. But what are we doing and what are we building up and what are we supporting? So when we talk about defunding the police, I'm a guy that would defund most of the cops. I agree with the point. I would decrease a lot of their funding. I would only give funding to an elected county sheriff, and I would get rid of all funding to appointed police departments. I would literally get rid of all funding for bringing in military hardware from the federal government to the cops. I would redirect a little bit of money to de-escalation training and their oath of office training. And okay, so I agree. But when we say defund, what does that mean? Does it mean we just let the hood neighborhoods have no cops? So it's just like anarchy in those places? The point that I'm getting at is that when I talk about defunding, I mean something totally different than, say, a communist or a socialist might mean, or an enemy of the people might mean, a terrorist or a warlord might mean. And the problem is when you get together with some of these people, if you're not careful, you agree on a word, a phrase that then gets used against you, that then gets turned on its head wrongfully against you. And so I believe some of these Black Lives Matter leadership and funding, and those people have an evil agenda. And if you're not very careful, even though you mean well, you get swept up with this other agenda and you're co-opted into there. And it's very hard to extract yourself sometimes. And so those are my only real concerns about words and terms and who and what and how. if you're not very careful, it might backfire. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think Ammon Bundy should go to the rally. I think he should. And that doesn't mean that I don't think that he should build relationships with good people in their organizations, because I think he should. It just means we need to be a little bit wise as serpents, harmless as doves, kind of an idea. We need to be a little bit careful about, well, even on principle, if we're not careful, we get swept up into things that we may not have intended. You know, it's kind of like the guy that goes to the party and everybody's smoking dope at the party. And one guy says, well, I didn't smoke any. But the big bus comes and they're like, yeah, right, kid. And he gets thrown in jail, too. Well, he's at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he's not careful enough with the company he keeps, per se. That doesn't mean he did anything wrong, exactly. And I don't know that I'm spot on this, but those are a little bit of my concerns, Ammon.
Well, you know, and I do respect that. One thing that I have tried to do and felt like I've been guided by, you know, God to do is to bring some of these things that to light. And what I mean by that is, I'm willing to sacrifice my reputation in order to have people consider truth that maybe they've never considered before. So when I say I'm going to support Black Lives Matter, or I'm going to, you know, join them in a rally to defund the police, when most of the nation is out there split, you know, completely polarized, and they're using these words like, you know, like defund is abolish. I'm going, you know, I'm hopefully have made it, and I believe that I have the best I can made it so that a whole bunch of people have thought about it differently, because that's exactly what I believe is what you expressed, that we do need to defund the police, and that most of these police agencies do not have any constitutional authority to be policing and arresting and enforcing laws on the people, that is the duty of the sheriff and those that he deputizes. And the reason for that is because he is the one that was elected to do that. And what we cry, and what I think a lot of us believe on each side, is that, you know, we become a police state. We cry that there is, you know, police abuse. And yet we won't recognize, well, what is the mechanism to make sure that we police are accountable to us? And that mechanism is the voting process of a sheriff. If our law enforcement was constitutional, the enforcement would be done under a sheriff that has deputized. And if the people are unhappy with the way that that sheriff is acting, they can actually recall him, remove him, and hold him and his deputies accountable. But what we have is a whole bunch of city police where there's no mechanism to hold them accountable. We have a whole bunch of state police where there's no mechanism to hold them accountable, and a whole bunch of federal police in literally every bureau, every bureaucracy, even the Department of Education has a SWAT team, and there's no way to hold them accountable. So, you know, I feel like it was important enough to bring these points to light and do it in a way in which people will actually listen. And so, yeah, I'm going to go, you know, my plan was to go to a Black Lives Matter rally, hold up a sign, Justice for Lavoie Finicum, and have a whole bunch of people question, why in the heck am I there? And then I can answer that question. And maybe they'll consider some truth that they've never considered before. And it's worth it to me. I don't need a reputation. That's secondary. I don't like to be the guy that everybody hates. But if they'll consider truth at the cost of my reputation, and maybe things will be better because of it, then I'm willing to sacrifice that.
All right, Sheriff, and then I got one more point about a reputation, because I don't think it's really about a reputation, because I agree with Ammon on this. Our reputations matter, if not, the truth is what matters, and principle and honor and integrity is what matters. But what I don't want to do is give lift to certain people that may be having evil intent for the country, and or to create violence. I don't want to give lift to their ulterior agendas or whatever you want to say, ulterior motive agendas. I want to be careful not to aid and abet them in that effort. Sheriff, you want to respond?
Yeah, and I think both you and Ammon alluded to this earlier, and you were dancing around the term civil disobedience, and I totally support that. And Jefferson said something that I just saw recently, and it's this: if a law is unjust, man is not only right to disobey it, he is obligated to do so. And I look at what's going on now, and then instead of these peaceful protests and rallies and marches, and I look back at the civil rights movement, would I have been courageous enough to march with the black people that were trying to stand for liberty in a peaceful manner? Would I have been courageous enough to march with Gandhi and stand with those people? Would I have been courageous enough to not arrest Rosa Parks and to stand with her and to escort her home safely, as I say in my presentation? And that this hope now is that something else we've alluded to, all of us on the program today, is have the peace officers of this country and sheriffs trained to know what their oath of office really means. We take an oath in this country throughout the entire law enforcement community, but none of them know what it means. 99% of them do not know what it means, nor have they ever been trained in its importance. And that's what we do, and I hope to be able to do that, because I believe that the sheriff still can change this country, literally change this country and get us back on track. But the people have to be with them. And yes, we have to stop obeying unjust laws.
I don't think we have a big disagreement here at all, ladies and gentlemen, and I agree that reputation is not the key here. I just don't want to give lift to some of the maybe sinister agendas that certain leaders have in certain organizations.
I don't like Black Lives Matter name. That I would tell them right up front, and I've already said this, and I think we all have, because all lives matter. And to single out one group saying our lives matter is to me, counterproductive.
Yeah, I get the disparity they're trying to highlight. If we're not careful, though, it backfires. I think we're all God's children, and we better start acting like it soon, Ammon.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Declaration of Independence. It makes it so clear. I truly believe it was an inspired document. It declares that all men are created equal, and that we have certain inalienable rights given to us by God, and then that is the purpose of government, is to protect those rights. It just seems so clear and so simple. And, you know, I do see a group of people in Black Lives Matter that, you know, want to stand for something, which is better than most, to be honest with you, and willing to stand for something. I don't believe that they're principled in most of what they're doing. They are professing, you know, socialism, democracy as a mob rule. They're, you know, they have mostly been cultured to living off of somebody else's work. But I still see a tremendous amount of good among the people, not the organization.
Amen. Couldn't agree more with that point. We'll do all we can, Ammon, to defend you. It is about principle, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about people. It is about the law of Almighty God, and we are all God's children. And my question is, when are we going to act like it? You've got 20 seconds. Final words yours, Ammon.
Well, just stick to principle. And I do believe that we have to unite as a people together in neighborhoods to defend ourselves. That's what happened at the ranch.
And Mac,
so God bless you, and thank you for your time.
Sheriff?
It's time we get back. The solution is, if we go back to the principles. If we don't, we're lost. America will be gone.
A moral people, trinity to Almighty God, the author of our liberty, is the key to success, ladies and gentlemen. For Ammon Bundy, the good Sheriff Richard Mack, and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.